Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Cara, thank you very much for that. Now, volunteer emergency medical response charity Critical is calling for people to slow down and avoid distractions when taking to the roads this bank holiday weekend. To date this year, 113 people have died on our roads, up more than 10% on this time last year. Meanwhile, emergency responders say they've attended 270 traffic collisions in the past 14 months. Well, we're joined now by Wicklow GP and Critical responder Dr. Mark Ruddy. And Mark, you're welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about the charity Critical and the work you and other responders do?
Yes, Sarah, thanks for having me on. So Critical is a volunteer charity, so we're all volunteers, and we get tasked to incidents, medical and trauma incidents on behalf of the National Ambulance Service. So when you call for an ambulance, if there's a critical responder close by, they'll be sent. So we provide doctors like myself who are upskilled doctors. So we bring similar skills to you'd find in the emergency department to the side of the road, off-duty paramedics and lay responders. And the idea is to get, you know, really good quality hospital level care to the side of the road as quick as possible.
Yeah, and as quick as possible is key, isn't it? Talk us through what they call the golden hour.
Yeah, I got most of my medical knowledge before medical school from TV, and they talk about the golden hour. But we think of it now as the platinum 10 minutes. So if the right things aren't done in the first 10 or 20 minutes, there is no golden hour. So we talk about getting the right level care as quick as possible. And for my patients, I work in Arklow. We're an hour and 10, an hour and 20 minutes to the major trauma centre. So the golden hour doesn't exist for us. It's the platinum 10 minutes. So it's about getting the right care to the patients as quickly as possible. And alongside the National Ambulance Service, that's what Critical are trying to do.
And is that often possible, or maybe more to the point, is that often impossible?
Yeah, it's a fluke. Everything is a fluke. It's where you have an accident, what time of day it is, what resources are available. We're all volunteers. I ring up every morning when I'm available. And I say that I'll respond to accidents within 30 minutes. But if I'm doing something, or if I'm on holidays, or if there doesn't happen to be an ambulance in the town, then, you know, you're not going to get that quick response. So I suppose the point is to try and augment the resources that are there, the statutory resources of the guards, the ambulance service and the fire brigade with kind of skilled and well-governed, well-equipped volunteers like us.
Mm. And they're also just sort of almost as an aside, from what you're saying there, there's a really strong argument for people getting first aid training by the sounds of things, so that, you know, people, if they're in a position to do so, passengers or whatever it might be, or passers-by might be. Although perhaps, sorry, actually, I might follow on that thought. I don't know, maybe you'd prefer if passers-bys don't get involved.
No, I think the first thing is not to put yourself in danger. So if we're talking about road traffic collisions, there's lots going on. It's often a live road. There's often a second crash after the first one. Obviously, there's liquids, there's fuel, there's hit batteries. So it's important just not to put yourself in danger. But no, I think passers-by can make a huge difference. You don't need equipment. You don't need to be a doctor. You don't need to be a paramedic. You just need basic skills to be able to, you know, safely open someone's airway, remove them from danger. And by doing simple stuff like that, you can keep the person alive, keep them well for kind of more skilled responders like myself or the ambulance service to arrive. But if people don't make that first move and that first care, there's not much point us coming along, because the scene is set at that stage. Mm.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, you know, before we get to that point, and what we're seeing as the main reason for road deaths. What are you seeing this year?
I think it's the kind of boring stuff about speed, but I'm seeing, you know, I go to road traffic collisions that the road is signposted 80 kilometres an hour, and you look at the damage to the car and it's clear it wasn't going 80 kilometres an hour. Distraction is huge, obviously the mobile phones, but also stuff like leaning back to, you know, deal with kids or to play with your radio in your car, any distractions. I think drinking drugs is probably key. And I think just the road traffic collisions at the moment, more people are on the roads in the summer. So there's going to be more crashes. And I think although the fatalities are reported, what you don't get reported is that for every fatality, there's four or five people whose lives have been changed massively, who've been injured in road traffic collisions, who'll never work again, who'll never be the same people they were previously. They don't get reported. So that the carnage on the roads is probably much greater than even, you know, our stark statistics show.
And often it's away from the motorways. It's the smaller roads where a lot of these accidents are happening.
Yeah, all our evidence says that motorways are relatively safe. Cars don't travel in different directions, which is good. They're well lit. They're well governed. There's always speed vans on them. The surface is good. It's when you go off those roads is the problem. Speed limits are just that. They're not designed for if the road is wet, if the surface is poor, if it's windy, if it's 1.5 lanes wide. So we're finding a disproportionate number of fatalities and bad accidents on kind of rural roads, smaller roads, roads like that, because the speed limit is just that. It's a limit. It shouldn't be a target.
And of course, you also have these, you know, really, they seem crazy speed limits on some of these smaller roads, you know, 80 kilometres or even 100 kilometres and really, really, you know, one lane roads with grass down the middle.
Yeah, you can't govern for everything. So people have to exert some level of common sense. The French would say if it's raining that the speed limit is 20 kilometres less than it's signposted. So something like that would be valid. But I don't think we can have a speed limit for every section of every road. Some roads are quite windy. Sometimes it's wet. Some surfaces are bad. So I think people just need to drive the conditions. And what I tell people is drive like a deer is going to jump out in front of you. Are you going to have time to react with your speed, with your level of distraction? I think that's a good way to drive.
Do you have any sense, Mark, from what you're seeing? And I know this is purely anecdotal. What is causing the increase that we're seeing on the roads?
As I said, it's the summer, so there's more people on the roads in the summer. So you're always going to get a peak. I'm not convinced there is an increase because I go to lots of road traffic collisions that are horrendous. Everything has happened except someone has died. Their lives have been massively changed and they're not reported. Okay. They're also not captured in any statistics. So we don't really have any sense of what injuries people are getting on the roads. We just have a sense of people, whether they live or die. So I think we have an epidemic now that's reported, but I think the situation is dire a lot of the time. And this is something that we can aim for zero road deaths. There's lots of medical conditions we can't ever aim to get rid of. But I think, you know, zero road deaths is something we can aim for. Cars are getting safer. Roads are getting safer. You know, it is something that we can aim for.
How do you steel yourself or prepare yourself when you get that call, when you're called out to an accident? And I don't know how much information you're given in advance. I would imagine you're told it's potentially serious, or I don't know. But if you have a sense you're coming across a serious accident, how do you prepare yourself?
So we're volunteers and we volunteer in our communities generally. So we know we're going to our friends, families, neighbours. We also know we're not alone, so we have a good support base in critical. We're also tasked alongside the guards, the fire service and the National Ambulance Service. So we're working with really excellent colleagues. We've all done this before. We've all been upskilled, but it's still horrendous. And the numbers don't capture just the human devastation of a road traffic collision, the smells, the broken glass, the lives that have just been changed, you know, coffee cups, child seats, school dinners, this sort of stuff just isn't captured. So it's horrendous. But I suppose the way we deal with it is we are not going to make it any worse. We might make it better. This is the worst day in someone's lives. And even if we don't make it better for the patient, hopefully the fact that the family and the friends know that we did everything we could kind of brings some sort of solace to people. But I just to try and get across that the numbers don't give a good sense of the carnage of road traffic collisions. They're really horrendous.
All right. Well, Mark, thank you very much for joining us. A very somber message there. If anyone is listening, it certainly gives the advice to slow down, steer clear of distractions and obviously drugs and alcohol and everything else that you've outlined. Thank you very much. That is Dr. Mark Ruddy.